Chapter 1. Plumeria redoubled her speed as the footfalls of her pursuer pounded ever closer, reverberating through the close confines of the subterranean passage. Her breath rasped in her throat as she spied a faint gleam of light in the distance. At last! But could she reach it before it was too late? From The Convent of Orsino by A Lady. And if you were any kind of gentleman, you would stop trying to inquire into her identity. The spy wore purple. Only amateurs wore black. Miss Gwendolyn Meadows knew that the true colour of a Paris night wasn't a flat black, but a deep purple, composed of 100 shades of shadow. Coal smoke masked the moon, diffusing the light of the lampposts, dirtying clothes and shading faces. Tonight she had left off her gown, her gloves, her elaborately curled plumes. She had even, with some reluctance, left behind her trusty parasol and taken up a cane instead. A sword cane, of course. Paris was a dangerous city, even for those engaged in innocent pursuits. Gwen's pursuits were anything but innocent. No one of her acquaintance would recognize her as she was tonight. For tonight's romp she had dressed as a dandy in breeches that hugged her legs, and an elaborate frock coat of deep purple brocade. The stiffness of the fabric disguised any unseemly curvature of the chest, the tapered silhouette the same as that of any other fop in Paris. Her Hessian boots had been made to her own specifications, supple enough to allow for easy movement, the soles muffled with a thin layer of soft leather. Her face was masked by a set of elaborately curling sideburns and matching moustache. Not that any of the young bucks who regularly shied away from her in the drawing rooms of the Tuileries would recognize her face. They were usually too busy sidling past in the hopes of saving their shins. Tall for a woman, she was comfortably average height for a man. Long and lean, her body might have been made for breeches rolls. In this get-up she looked no different from any of the other gallants who thronged the cafés on the Rue de Richelieu. There was one major difference. None of them were crouched on the corner of a balcony. She had followed Bonaparte's foreign minister from the Théâtre des Arts, marking his limping progress. Talleyrand had gone masked too, but his uneven gait made him easy to follow. They hadn't far to go. She had tracked him 3 houses down to this ramshackle inn. Talleyrand had taken the stairs. Gwen had taken the trellis. Whomever he was meeting, it must be important for Bonaparte's foreign minister to come himself, and in this much haste. A light guttered in the room. Not so bright. The voice was the barest whisper, yet still recognizably female. Recognizably female and almost recognizable. Gwen knew that voice from somewhere. She was sure of it. She slouched closer, pressing her ear to the side of the shutters. The overhang of the balcony above shrouded her in shadow, the railing shielding her from the gaze of curious passers-by below.
"No one followed me," said Talleyrand soothingly.
"Ha! That's what he thought." Gwen nobly forbore to preen. There was no point in gloating until she knew what there was to gloat about. He might be meeting a mistress. But if so, why such subterfuge? Talleyrand's many affairs were fair game. He made no move to hide them. She would give him one thing. The man recognized his bastards. Not every man could say as much.
"You're back sooner than I would have thought," he said.
There was an edge of censure in his voice. Gwen heard the shuffle thump of his passage across the room, the sound of a drink being poured.
"Not from dereliction of duty."
The female's voice was stronger now, her French lightly accented with a hint of the South. Italian. Not the coarse Corsican of Bonaparte's cronies, but pure Tuscan, the accent of Dante and the Medicis.
And
of the opera. Gwen crept closer. Through the shutters she saw the lady ease back her hood, revealing a rich mass of auburn hair, elaborately arranged.
"I have not forgot our bargain."
Talleyrand's voice was dry.
"I should